Hi, sister. This is Denise with Far Above Podcast. Today, I want to talk about something that the Lord has been leading me to consider and encourage you and myself in, and that would be our marriages. You know, I have been married for 27 years, going on 28. This coming summer will be 28. Years, and we have had many ups and downs and devastations, losses, heartbreaks. And through it all, God has been faithful to keep us together, to not let us be led by the flesh. I mean, we've made our mistakes for sure, and we've hurt each other deeply, but we both love Jesus. And so because of that, we know that God has commanded us to stick it out, to be steadfast. And he's been faithful to keep us together and to allow us to experience something fresh and new. So this summer, we were able, my husband and I, to get away and spend some time together celebrating our anniversary on our own. I think it was like 4 or 5 days. In a beautiful location in New Mexico, and it was wonderful. Such a blessing. And I was sharing with my counselor that we were going to be going on this getaway together by ourselves, and she asked me a question. She said, well, what are you hoping to get out of your time together? What are you planning on doing? And really, in reality, the first thing that came to my mind was just to have fun together and make memories. And just enjoy each other. Because as you probably know, as you struggle with things, and the struggles of our prodigals and the things in life that just can wear you down and can really take the joy maybe out of your marriage. I guess that would be how I've described it, in the sense of when you're just so heartbroken over what's going on in your family and the choices of those in your family, it can just zap you. But the joy of the Lord is our strength, and marriage is so important. God created it. It's an ordained institution. It is, it's sacred. It's an example of Christ, the bridegroom, and his bride, the church. And I will be the first to admit that I have not been a great example to my children. When I first got married, I had just started walking with the Lord. And then I really always wanted to be a wife and a mother. But there was a point where I just started walking with the Lord on Valentine's Day, 1995. And I really surrendered everything to God, even my desire to be a wife and a mother. And I just gave it to the Lord. I said, if you do not want me to get married, I will be fine being single. I will just enjoy serving you, and it'll just be you and me, Jesus. But if you want me to be a wife and a mother, then you'll have to bring this man that you want me to marry into my life. I am not going to date anymore, because I had been making a lot of bad choices. And I said, or take away this desire from me. And then that was in February. Probably about 3 or 4 months later, I met my husband. And I did not know until after we talked about it, after we got married, that he had pretty much prayed the same prayer and surrendered it all to God. So we have gone through some really, it's a miracle that we're still together. I'll just say that. And so when I first started walking with the Lord, and then I met my husband, and then we got married a year later, after we got engaged, I had no idea what it was like, what it was to be a Christian woman, much less a Christian wife. And then 3 years after our marriage, we had our first daughter, my precious Hannah, who is just such a gift and such a blessing to me and my husband and our family. We prayed and prayed and prayed for her. And that's why we named her Hannah, because of Hannah in the Bible, who prayed for her son, Samuel. And Ruth, we named her Hannah Ruth, because Ruth is my favorite book in the Bible. I just love the redemption story, the kinsman redeemer, and how he grafted Ruth in, a Moabite woman, into the family of God. I just love how Jesus, he redeems and he grafts people in that you would never have imagined. Rahab, one of the examples too that I just love. So Hannah Ruth was our first daughter, and I remember just being so afraid because of my childhood and the things that I had experienced. My parents had gotten divorced and separated when I was in high school, so I was really terrified of ruining my daughter or any of my children. And so God prompted my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit to pray that my children would come to know him at a young age. And that prayer was answered. And it was so beautifully done. And that's what gives me hope and peace, that I watched my children accept the Lord and serve him and walk with him. And so I know that they're his, and his word is true, and his promises are true, and that my children are God's children, that he created them, and that he's got them. He's writing their story, whether they know it or not. And then because of the healing that God did in our marriage, my husband's and my marriage, and then we were expecting again, and I really, really prayed, and my husband prayed about what to name our second child. And so we always had my husband's name as the name for the man, for the boy. If it was going to be a boy, we had a name already placed, you know, like, okay, my name, our son after my husband, if this child was a boy. But then we always had, you know, to pick the girl names. And so at church one Sunday, our pastor spoke about Rebecca. Beautiful Rebecca, beautiful inside and out. Her heart for service and how she went above and beyond. And I just said, Lord, and I told my husband, I want, if we have another daughter, I want her to embody a servant heart. And she will... she'll be a light and a testimony to the goodness of God. So there came the name Rebecca, and Grace, because of how God had healed our marriage and redeemed it and restored it. And then later on, I was expecting again, and we just, of course, had the same name for the son, if it had a son. And then we were watching the Christmas movie, The Nativity. And I realized, and I think my husband did too, for the first time, I just imagined what it would be like to be a teenage girl and to have an angel come to you and tell you that God had seen you and he wanted to use you to bring the Messiah into the world. And not only that, but then she would have to be strong enough to be able to stand on her own two feet and the power and promises of God. And no matter what people said about her, she was going to believe what God said and she was going to serve him. And the song that she sang about being his maidservant who had found favor in his eyes was just amazing. So of course we chose Mary. And then in the same nativity, we're watching Elizabeth, her cousin, and I'm like, whoa, the faith of Elizabeth. So Mary Elizabeth, and there you go. That is, and then I was expecting again, and we hadn't chosen a name yet. And sadly, that sweet little child is with Jesus. She did not, or we really believe it was probably another girl. The stats were in that favor. So we did name her Angel, or the baby Angel, because we didn't find out what the sex of the baby was, but we knew that this little baby was with Jesus, her creator, or this baby's creator. And so we just can't wait. I can't wait to get to meet Angel one day and just serve the Lord and worship the Lord together in heaven. And so marriage is just, it's just a gift. And it's an example, like I said, of Jesus, the bridegroom, and the bride, his church. And I have failed. I have failed as an example of what a godly woman and wife look like for so long. And I'm still in the process of being redeemed and sanctified by Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. But I can say that we're at a different place. We're at a richer, deeper place after 27 years and knowing each other for 28 years. It's been an amazing journey. And so I thought how important it is that we pray for our marriage, pray for our spouse. Of course, we're never going to stop praying for our prodigal until they return, because they have our heart in such a deep way. I mean, there's until a woman has experienced pregnancy, and there's just nothing like it. I can't even describe it. I wrote a poem on Mother's Day 20 some years ago, and it talked about how much God loves me, and then how he gave me the gift to see just a fraction of his love for me when he gave me my first child. And that just changed me. Amazing. It was just wow. So marriage is under God. Our husband is second, right? So how often do I pray for my marriage? I definitely can improve in this area. So I thought, why don't we pray together, my sister and I, lifting up our marriage, each of our marriages to the Lord, and asking God to step in and refresh us, revive us. My husband and I got to go away this summer, like I said, and it was just so much fun to just be together and have fun and really leave all our cares behind, focus on the Lord and each other. What a gift to have those sweet memories. And I really enjoy being with my husband. He is definitely my best friend. And it's just fun to see what it will be like once again when all of our girls are grown and gone. And of course, they'll always have a special place and we'll always be there for them. And we will cheer them on and help them in any way we can. But it'll be he and I together until the Lord takes us home. So let's go ahead and go before the Father and pray. I'm praying two prayers found in a commemorative edition called Prayers That Avail Much by Jermaine Copeland. And this prayer is in page 194, and it is called Compatibility in Marriage. So would you join me, sister, in praying for our precious marriages? Father, in the name of Jesus, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who indwells in us. Therefore, my sister and I are lifting up our marriages. We come before you. Our spouse and I are learning to endure long and are patient and kind. We are never envious and never boil over with jealousy. We're not boastful or vainglorious, and we do not display ourselves haughtily. We are not conceited or arrogant and inflated with pride. We're not rude and unmannerly, and we do not act unbecomingly. We do not insist on our own rights or our own way. for we are not self-seeking or touchy or fretful or resentful. We take no account of the evil done to us and pay no attention to a suffering wrong. We do not rejoice in inheritance, we do not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but we rejoice when right and truth prevail. We bear up under anything and everything that comes. We are never ready, we are ever ready to believe the best in each other. Our hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. We endure everything without weakening. Our love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. We are no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, but we speak the truth in love, dealing truthfully and living truly. Actually, dealing truly and living truly. We are enfolded in love, growing up in every way and in all things. We esteem and delight in one another, forgiving one another readily and freely, as God in Christ has forgiven us. We are imitators of God and copy his example as well-beloved children, intimate with their Father. Thank you, Father, that our marriages grow stronger each day because it is founded on your word and on your kind of love. We give you the praise for it all, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I love how here it gives the scripture verses that were prayed through this prayer. It's 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, Amplified. 1 Corinthians 14, 1, Ephesians 4, 14, 15, and 32, and Ephesians 5, 1 through 1 and 2, the Amplified Version. And then I'm going to pray one more prayer, which is on page 199, for our harmonious marriage. Father, in the name of Jesus, it is written in your word that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. Because you are in us, my husband and I, my sister's husband and her, we acknowledge the love reigns supreme. That love reigns supreme. We believe that love is displayed in full expression, unfolding and knitting us together in truth, making us perfect for every good work to do your will, working in us that which is pleasing in your sight. We live and conduct ourselves and our marriages honorably and becomingly. We esteem it as precious, worthy, and of great price. We commit ourselves to live in mutual harmony and accord with one another, delighting in each other, being in the same mind and united in spirit. Father, we believe and say that we are gentle, compassionate, courteous, tender-hearted, and humble-minded. We seek peace, and it keeps our hearts in quietness and assurance. Because we follow after love and dwell in peace, our prayers are not hindered in any way in the name of Jesus. We are heirs together of the grace of God. Our marriage grows stronger day by day in the bond of unity because it is founded on your word and rooted and grounded in your love. Father, we thank you for the performance of it. In Jesus' name, amen. And that has the scripture verses Romans 5, 5, Philippians 1, 9, Colossians 3, 14, Colossians 1, 10, Philippians 2, 13, Philippians 2, 2, Ephesians 4, 32, Ephesians 32, 17, Philippians 4, 7, 1 Peter 3, 7, Ephesians 3, 17 and 18, and Jeremiah 1, 12. I just want to encourage you. Marriage was created by God. It was created for one man and one woman for a lifetime. It is a gift. It is a treasure. And I will be the first to confess to you, sister, that I have not treated it as such always. I've not seen it as the treasure. And I repent and renounce of that. And I come into agreement with Christ that marriage is a gift, and I will treasure it from now on until he takes me home or he comes back. So let me encourage you to also see your marriage as a gift and a treasure. And no, our marriages will not be perfect or look like what Hollywood wants us to think a marriage looks like. But if we keep seeking the Lord, keep asking him to show us by the power of the Holy Spirit, seek his word and look in the scriptures to see what marriage is all about. Oh, I got to share with you something real fast before I pray us out. I was on Facebook and I heard, maybe it was YouTube. I don't know. But I found this group. It's called the Sister Rita Club. And it is so neat. It is, it's a woman who has started making her Bible a prayer Bible. So if you want more information, go to Facebook, look up Sister Rita Club, or go to YouTube and look up Sister Rita Club. I am making a prayer Bible right now. And what I'm doing is I'm finding scriptures. I'm going to the concordance. I'm looking up scriptures on marriage, probably going to be using the ones that I prayed today. And then you tab those sections in your Bible, and then you just have them already ready. And so they're labeled marriage. And so, you know, daily we can be praying for our marriages. They're already tabbed and ready, and it's in your Bible. You can write notes. She also has a Bible on identity, which I'm going to be making. One, just an overall basic like prayer Bible for everything. There's so many different things, but I have just fallen in love with this idea because it's all handy. It's right there. It's in your Bible. You can just grab your Bible, flip to the tabs, and just go ahead and start praying. I don't have to look anything up. You know, it's just exciting. I just love it. So just thought I'd throw a plug in there for the Sister Rita Club. And the sister who created this idea is just precious. You will love her too. So thank you for listening, sister. And, you know, we may not be able to see what God is doing in our prodigals' lives, but we can focus on what's in front of us, what's in the mirror. Look in the mirror, and you can focus on yourself and ask the Lord to work on you. And then you can love your husband and just be a blessing to him and pray for him and your marriage and watch what God does. I'm just so excited about God working in our lives. And so let me pray us out. Please join me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you that you're with us, that you see us. Not all of my sisters that are listening are married. Lord, some of them desire to be married. Some of them stepped out of maybe a difficult or unhealthy, abusive marriage. I pray that you would reach all of the places in my sister's heart, whether she's married or divorced or never been married. Lord, it would be hard to have a child if you've never been married, I guess. I mean, I guess you could, right? So no matter what, ultimately, God, I ask you to bless my sister. No matter where she is in this area of her life. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless, if she is married, bless her marriage. Give it a new, fresh joy. And let it be a testimony to their family and to their neighbors and the church and the world that you created marriage and it is a gift. And it can be a joyful relationship between one man and one woman. And I thank you for that. Father, I just thank you. I pray blessings on my sister. And I just pray blessings on my marriage and ask that you would step in, Lord, and make it all you created it to be. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, sister, for listening. Remember, we are to live far above our circumstances. And we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. It says so in Ephesians, far above. So let us live in expectancy that God is at work in us and in our prodigals and in our marriages and in the lives of our loved ones. Until next time, thanks for listening. Goodbye.